Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
The title of this morning's message is this: Occasionally in over our head, but always in His hand. Now that's a wonderful truth that all of us need to grasp a hold of here today. Yes, occasionally in life we are in over our head. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? Many of you are probably in the same boat. You say, oh, preacher, I have on many occasions been in over my head. The truth that we're going to learn today is that even though occasionally we are in over our head in life, we can always be confident that we are in His hand. I'm going to use the letter D and give you four main pictures that we find in this psalm today. And then I want to give you some practical thoughts about when we are in over our head and what we need to do when we find ourselves in that scenario. Four pictures that the psalmist gives us. Number one, he gives us the picture of the desert. I'm going to read to you Psalm 107 and verse 4 and 5. Obviously, I'm not going to read all 43 verses in Psalm 107 today, but I do want to read many verses in this psalm as we see the four different pictures. The first picture is the psalmist gives us the picture of a desert. Look at verse 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Now, notice that word solitary. Did you see that in verse 4? In a solitary way. That emphasizes and stresses to us a sense of loneliness, a sense of being by yourself when you feel like you are lost in life, confused in life, maybe even frustrated by everything that is transpiring in your life. Have you ever felt like you were just lost in the maze of life? I've been there. When all that is transpiring in your life, all the situations and circumstances causes you to feel like you are all alone and you're just lost in the maze of life. You're confused about what decision you should make next. It's at times describing for us when we are just going through the routine and the motions of life, but it seems like there's no meaning and all the purpose of life is gone. Look at that expression, hungry and thirsty, because it describes when we're operating on spiritual fumes. Have you ever operated on spiritual fumes? Boy, I have. I'm guilty of that. This is not Confession Sunday for your pastor, but I can certainly relate to this psalm and what it is describing here. There are times when we operate on spiritual empty. It's when we are spiritually running on E. It's when we're trying to meet the demands of life while deep down inside we are coming unraveled. Maybe this morning you find yourself in the desert. You feel alone. You feel confused. You're frustrated with life, and you feel like you are operating on spiritual fumes, and yet you're going through the motions. You're going through the routine. That's what we see described for us here in Psalm 107 and verse 4 and 5. But then there's a second picture, and that is the picture of a person in a dungeon, or we could say a prison, but I told you I'd give you four words with D, so it's a dungeon. I want you to look at Psalm 107, verse 10 and 11. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Now there's the imagery of being in a dungeon, being in a prison, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Now notice that this is what we would call a self-inflicted dungeon. In other words, it is a dungeon of our own making. It's where we find ourselves imprisoned and chained because the wrong choices have been made in our life. It's experiencing the reality of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, there's a positive side and a negative side to this promise that we find. If we are sowing that which is good, then we will reap that which is good. But if we sow that which is bad, if we make wrong decisions, if we make wrong choices in life, then we will reap the consequences of that. You see, here we have described for us a dungeon where we feel overwhelmed with helplessness and hopelessness, because we can't turn back the hands of time. What's been done has been done, and now we're living with the consequences of it all. Some of you might be there today. You're dealing with the consequences of some of the decisions that you've made in the past. There's nothing worse than becoming the prisoner of our own foolish decisions. It's where we know that we didn't listen to wise counsel, and now we're paying the price for it. Do you remember what Proverbs 12, verse 15 says? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Sometimes we find ourselves in what I call the dungeons of life. And that's where we have made poor choices, maybe stupid decisions, and now we're reaping the consequences of that. We're in the desert, we're in the dungeon, and then notice a third picture, the deathbed. The deathbed. We see that in Psalm 107, verses 17 and 18. Drop down to those two verses, and let's look at those, 17 and 18. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Now, here's a picture of a person with a physical illness. It's a person who is so sick that they don't even want to eat. Notice that there in verse 18. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They don't want to eat. They're so sick that they have no appetite left. And they've given up on life. They just want to die. And notice again that this scenario is self-inflicted. It was, notice, because of their transgressions that they were experiencing this physical suffering. But here we see, pictured right here in Psalm 107, the desert. And then we see the dungeon. And then we see the deathbed. But now I want you to see the downpour, or what we would call the storm that we read about in verses 23 through 32. I want to read sort of a lengthy portion of Scripture here. Psalm 107, beginning in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters or the deep waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The old expression we see here, when it rains, it what? It pours. That would be a good description of the verses that I've just read. There is a storm that we read about here, and it is raging, and the sailors on the deck of this ship are hanging on for dear life. There are several thoughts that I want to give you from these verses, several thoughts that you and I need to remember. Number one, God can cause control, and calm the storms of our lives. We see that in these verses that I've just read. Mark that down, because usually we leave out the first two, right? We might would say, God can calm the storms in your life. And that's true. But I want you to realize that there are times when God, what? Causes the storms in our life. And we need to remember that He is always in control, even though there may be a storm raging in your life right now. As I have already pointed out with the picture of the dungeon and the picture of the deathbed, there are many self-induced storms that we experience. Dark and gloomy, stormy clouds that we bring upon ourselves because of our mistakes and our poor decisions. But then there are what I call divine storms that God causes in our lives. Notice the expression there in verse 25. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Now, we like to think of God as the one who calms the storms, but I want you to know that at times He causes the storms. You may be here today and you say, Preacher, I am going through a storm in my life right now. The first thing you need to try to figure out is this a storm of my own making? Have I caused this storm with some decisions that I have made in my life? Or is this a storm that God has brought about? Has God caused this storm in my life? I want you to look back at Psalm 66. You're in 107. Go all the way back to Psalm 66. I want you to notice two verses. Have you found it? Psalm 66. Look, please, at verses 11 and 12. The psalmist says, Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Notice God has done all this. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. You see, at times God causes the adversity that we experience in life. You say, Preacher, I'm going through some tough times right now. I'm in one of those deep, dark valleys. I'm in the raging storm right now. Well, you need to figure out, are you there because of your own doings? Are you there experiencing that storm or going through that deep, dark valley because God has caused that storm? You see, you might be in the midst right now of what we would call a God-made storm that's got your name written all over it. And if so, I want you to know three things. God is controlling every aspect of that storm. If you are in a storm that God has caused in your life, I want you to see three things that He controls. Number one, He controls the ingredients of it. In other words, He's going to control what all that storm involves. You know, God knows exactly what we need and when we need it, right? Do you believe that? And that means He knows whenever we need to experience the mountaintop experience, the sunshine, the good days. He knows when we need that. But He also knows when we need to go through the deep, dark valleys of life. He knows whenever He needs to cause a storm of adversity in our lives. And He knows exactly what we need. And He may know that Jake needs something that I don't necessarily need. And then He knows that I need something that maybe Jake doesn't necessarily need. And so God tailor makes those storms, those trying times that we go through. He is in control of the ingredients. Number two, He's also in control of the intensity of it. Have you ever experienced such hard times, such difficulties in your life where you say, I can't handle any what more? By the way, that's exactly where God wants to get you. Where you come to the end of yourself. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But he controls the intensity of it. In other words, if you're in the furnace right now, he controls whether the thermostat, whether it needs to be a little hotter or a little bit cooler. And he understands that maybe, again, what Jake needs is different than what I need, and what I need is different than what Jake needs. Isn't it good that God doesn't just say, yeah, all of you need this adversity this week? Boy, that would be tough, wouldn't it? All of us experience the same thing. No, he knows what you need to experience. He knows what you need in your life. He knows exactly when and where and what kind of adversity you need. You see, he controls the ingredients of it. He controls the intensity of it. And then number three, he controls the instant it will end. God is in control of that. Why? He caused that storm, right? If it is not a self-induced, self-inflicted storm, then it is a God storm, a tailor-made storm just for your life. And he controls everything about that storm, the ingredients of it, the intensity of it, and the instant that it will end. God is at work in your life right now. He's at work in your life. You say, I don't like what he's doing. The end result will be good things. If you respond correctly to the storm that God brings into your life, you will become a better Christian for it. Number two, storms are not meant to destroy us, but rather to develop us. One of the main reasons God brings storms into our lives is to bring us to our wit's end. I want you to go back to Psalm 107. Look at verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their what? Wit's end. Now, you may want to circle that word wits and write off in the margin of your Bible, because the Hebrew word that is translated wits in verse 27 means wisdom or skill. That's the idea behind the word. The idea is to come to the end of your own wisdom, to come to your wit's end, to come to the end of your own wisdom, your own ability, your own strength. God will intentionally bring suffering and adversity and trials into our lives so that we will come to the end of ourselves and realize that we cannot make it without him. You see, when the sea of life is calm, we often just drift along peacefully without really noticing God at all. But God wants you to understand that you can't live life without him. You need him. And when it's smooth sailing, our tendency is to forget all about God. And it's all about us at that point. But when you're going through a storm and the storm is raging and life is tough and you're going through that deep valley, suddenly you will at some point come to what? The end of yourself. You come to the wit's end. You'll come to the end of your own wisdom, your own ability, and your own strength. God will do whatever it takes to bring us to our knees. Bring us to our knees, to where we look to him and say, God, I cannot make it without you. If you don't intervene, if you don't do what only you can do, I'm not going to make it. You see, we cannot develop in our spiritual walk with God without suffering. You see, the storms of life are intended not to make us bitter, but to make us better. What is taking place here in verse 26 is, because of this storm, the hearts of those sailors that are on this deck, and they're reeling to and fro, they're going up and down, and they're wondering if they're going to make it. They've come to their wit's end. They realize they don't have the strength, the wisdom. They don't have what it takes. They've come to the place where they look to God. Their heart is no longer callous. But because of what they're experiencing, God is softening their heart. I want you to know that what you're going through in your life right now, it may be God trying to soften your heart. He's trying to make that cold, callous, hardened heart a soft, convicted, sensitive heart that will respond to what God is doing in your life. There is a verse that's repeated all throughout this psalm. I don't know if you've already seen it, but look at verse 6. The verse appears in verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Go down to verse 13. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Drop down to verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Then look at verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. I can't help but notice a very powerful truth here, and it's this. When we cry out to God, we have his undivided attention. We have his attention. He hears our prayers. He responds to our cries. Notice also, though, that we have his unconditional acceptance. Whether the suffering is self-inflicted or whether that suffering is God-inflicted because of his desire to shape us and to mold us, he still responds with the love of a father. He's always there to restore the prodigal son. When we come to the end of ourselves and God begins to soften our hearts and we cry out to him, then and only then will God say, "All right, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish in your life. I will now calm the storm." One of the greatest spiritual lessons that I've ever learned, and you are going to think I am a broken record, because I have said it, I think, in all five of these messages that I preach to you, dealing with suffering and dealing with adversity, difficult times. I know that our church family has needed these messages because so many of you have called me, emailed me, come up and talked to me and said, "I needed that. This is what I'm going through in my life right now, and I needed to hear those words." But here's the powerful truth that all of us have got to get a hold of, and it's this. God is more interested in changing me than he is in changing my circumstances. Prayer is not just a way for you to twist God's arm and get what you want in life. Prayer is a way for you to draw closer to God and allow God to change you so that you can go out and deal with whatever you're dealing with in life. God wants to change you. And he knows that he cannot change you effectively and shape you and mold you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ, without times and moments of difficulty, suffering, and adversity. We need the valleys and the storms of life. You say, "I don't like them." Neither do I. But we need them. We need them. Life is not all about good times. We have to have bad times. Number three, we must learn to worship and praise God before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. We're probably good with the before and the after, right? You say, "Okay, I can praise him. Right now, I'm not in a storm, so I can praise him." Or maybe some of you are here today and say, "Boy, I've just come through the storm, and I am praising him that is all over." What about worshiping him and praising him during the storm? By the way, you don't have to understand what God is doing in your life in order to worship him. You say, I don't understand what he's doing. Why is he allowing this? I don't get it. Well, God, what are you doing?" Still worship him. Praise him. Even when you have a big question mark, when you don't understand what he's doing, still lift your voice in praise and worship to him. You see, worship is a conscious choice that we make, whether we're in the valley, whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're out on the stormy sea, or whether we're sailing the peaceful waters. We are to exalt his name. We are to praise his name. We are to declare the goodness of God, whether we're in church or whether we're lost like we're in a maze in the desert, or whether we feel like we're locked up in the dungeon, or whether we're lying on the deathbed, or whether we're lamenting the downpour of life. God is God, no matter what you're going through. You may be facing what seems to be an impossible situation in your life. I've been amazed. I don't have any idea what is going on in the vast majority of your lives. There's a few that I do know, and you've come and you've shared what God is doing and what's happening in your life. But I want you to know that you may be in what you think is an impossible situation. But I want you to remember the words of Jesus when he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Don't forget those words. That which seems to be impossible to you is possible with God. You may feel that you don't have enough strength to make it another day. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through this." But I want you to know that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You say, "Pastor Mike, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't make it. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And I'm going through an extremely deep, dark valley right now." The Apostle Paul exclaims in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You say, "I'm afraid and worried about the things that are happening in my life." 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 1 Peter 5 verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You say, "I don't know what to do. I'm just at a crossroads right now, and I don't have all the answers." James 1 verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will," what, "give it to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." You say, I feel all alone. I feel like I'm having to struggle with what I'm dealing with by myself. Jesus says, "I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee." Today, you may feel like you are in over your head. But I want you to know you are still in his hand. You are. Solomon writes in Proverbs 29, verse 25, "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." If you'll just trust God, you'll be okay. You say, "Wait a minute, there's ones that I have heard that have trusted God and then they died." That's right. For the believer, the best is yet to come. You got to realize, for a believer to die is not that bad. Huh? Actually, the believers that I know that have died, I wouldn't want them to come back to this miserable place where we live called planet Earth. They're doing a whole lot better than we are. Sometimes God delivers you, sometimes he doesn't. In the book of Acts, the church was praying. Peter was delivered from the prison, but James was beheaded. Both won. James went to be with the Lord, and Peter continued the ministry, and eventually he also died. You see, we need to understand that there will be times when we will be in over our heads. But we're always in the hand of God.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.